This is F1 Debrief, the never-ending story. Coming up on this show, we discuss points and penalties, how 2011 is shaping up, and F1 drivers as biscuits.
Avanti, Fer! Avanti!
I do love that. Hysterical laughter at the end of a race.
Is that a cackle? That's almost like an evil laugh.
It is. I don't think he's trying to be evil. I think he's probably just like, I can't believe I got to the end of that.
Neither can I.
Wow.
What an epic.
It was quite a long race, but we'll talk about that in a bit. I think we should get on with the show.
Good week, bad week.
It's been a good week for Rosberg, who is supposedly being reunited with his old race engineer from Williams. Toni Rross is reportedly moving to Mercedes, and although no one is saying anything about anything, Rosberg has clearly made himself a strong contender in the team and would likely do even better with someone he's more familiar with. Will Buxton reported on this and said Rosberg told him no one is getting fired, so they think his current engineer, Jock Clear, would move into a more general role next year.
There's a lot of movement going on outside of the drivers. Now, normally you get a lot of driver movement going on this time of the year, but within teams, the engineers are moving around. I mean, Williams seem to be losing people hand over fist, and now there's a big shake-up at Mercedes.
Someone left Force India as well, didn't they, this week?
Loads of people. Actually, well, somebody went this week as well, did they? Lots of people are heading from Force India to Lotus, who are on a big recruitment drive. So it's all change in the back room.
It's been a bad week for teams who turned up in the paddock to find there was no electricity or gas. Well, intermittent supplies, at least. Power is vital, of course, but equally for the chefs, no gas means no food, which is a disaster. On top of that, when the electricity was running, it was at 60 hertz when all the F1 equipment is set to run at 50 hertz. Korea works at 60, most of the world is 50, so either the teams didn't know that or they weren't prepared, or both.
It was a general lack of preparation with anything to do with Korea. I'm not quite sure why the 60 hertz problem was such a big issue. I'm sure Canada works on the same and F1 teams go there. However, the lack of gas, big issue. If people can't eat, they're not going to be happy.
It's been a good week for fans intending to use Kangaroo TV next year, as it looks like they might be bringing in the new version. It's been available for NFL fans in America for ages, and it's much nicer looking with more functionality than the current F1 device, which is, to be polite, a bit bulky.
And a bit out of date.
Yeah. Marissa Lee tweeted, "A fab look at our newer and sleeker cousin, FanVision. Look out, F1, we're coming."
So it's not official, not a press release, nothing like that. Just a tweet says, "This new device, this is coming to F1. And it is fantastic. It's HD ready, which is interesting. Very small. Is it touchscreen? It's very light, very comfortable.
It looks to me just like a little camera.
Very handy. There is a preview. There's an NFL trailer. Should we play that one?
Go on.
That does tell you slightly more about it, I think.
This has changed the way I see the game. This is the personalized field pass to the heart of my team. This puts me inside the action.
With instant replay,
NFL Red Zone Channel,
out-of-town games,
fantasy football, and any stat you could ever imagine in real time.
Without it, you'll look ridiculous.
Get into the stadium. Get into the game. Get St. Louis Rams Fan Vision.
I want it. I want it now. I would go to a race just to play with that.
It's worth saying that guy, he said he'd look ridiculous because he had a stupid hat on.
Right.
He was making a joke.
Marketing.
Yeah.
Works for you.
That's funny, isn't it?
Mm-mm.
Do you know what Alonso would do?
What would Alonso say to that?
I think he would laugh. It's been a bad week for Heikki's girlfriend Catherine, who picked up a bug in Korea and had to be hooked up to some drips and things in the medical centre. I'm not so sure it is a bad week, really, because if you're going to get sick, you want to do it right next to some top-of-the-range equipment and doctors.
That's the best place to be sick, isn't it?
It really is.
Poor Cat.
It's been a bit of a sickly weekend, really, as Crofty didn't sound well right from the start, and he'd practically lost his voice by the end of commentating the race.
Holly was also struggling in the pit lane. There was so much dust around.
He was choking.
Everything was so new, people were really suffering up and down the pit lane.
News and views.
Before we get on to any actual news this week, I just wanted to say that it's quite hard. You know, we started Side Podcast and we were quite mean about a lot of people. It's
no,
kind
us
of what we do.
Mean, opinionated, never.
And at the same time, we've been pushing for drivers and teams and everyone to get on Twitter and start paying attention to the fans and social media, and it's wonderful.
It's quite hard
to be mean about people when you know they're going to see your tweets.
I'll tell you what, though, that is true. That is a difficult thing. The more interactive Formula One gets, the tougher blaming people and moaning.
We have to be polite about people.
Because we know they might be listening. But I'll tell you what, the worst thing for me is when you've got Karun's mum.
Yeah.
retweeting you and watching and reading. Because the hardest thing, I mean, it's okay to be mean about someone. You say, oh, that Mike Webber, goodness me, what a wally. Something like, you know, that's
he's
fine.
Used to that.
He's cool. He's cool. He's absolutely fine with that. But not to his mum.
No.
Not if his mum was watching. That's too much. That's a step too far to me. Now, you see, we've asked for this and we've got it and now I'm a bit freaked out.
Now we don't know what to do with it.
Yeah, that's really, I'm not comfortable with drivers' mums peering over our shoulder when we're talking about their sons. That is not on, Jitra. I know you're listening.
On to the news. Big rumours this week that Hülkenberg might be out of Williams.
Well, did we talk about this in the last show? I forget what we covered.
I can't remember.
It has been ongoing. The guy, he's not set the world alight, but then with so limited testing, you can't really blame the guy because there is no chance to stretch your legs. Everything is, all you get is Fridays ready for any additional running and setup time.
He hasn't really done anything ridiculously stupid either.
He's not embarrassed himself, but you get the sense that from the last couple of races, he has been under more and more pressure, and it does look like Williams are struggling for money. And because Hulk doesn't bring, I don't think he brings any money to his drive, they're having to look elsewhere. And they may have found a driver with some cash to bring.
Joe blogged about it today and said, there are a number of such drivers about at the moment, and by far the best of the bunch is GP2 champion Pastor Maldonado, the Venezuelan who won the GP2 series this year. The best thing about Maldonado is that he comes with a horse-choking wedge of cash, which is provided for him by the Venezuelan government-controlled oil company, PDVSA. The word is that Williams' chairman has spent the last week in Venezuela hammering out a massive deal with PDVSA, and it could be as high as $18 million.
That is a lot of money. The question is, regardless of the money, is the guy any good? Because Hulk is a known entity now. You know what he can do. You know where his strengths are and his weaknesses are. And he's done a reasonable job against Rubens. Rubens has all the experience. He ran Jensen well last year to the end of the championship. And he's no slouch. Hulk has done a pretty good job. If you compare Petrov to Kubica, who, you know, there's a pretty wide margin between the performance of those two. And Petrov's a rookie. And he's got a pretty fast car under him and hasn't managed to deliver as many times as Hulk has. So I think Hulk's done well and he knows where he is. The question is, how does Maldonado stack up to Hulk?
Yeah, well, they've kind of got to choose between they go for someone new, again, a rookie, who brings in this big wedge of money.
Allegedly. Says Joe, though. So you can take that to the bank, right?
Yeah. Or they stick with someone they know who they've already trained up, knows how they work, is liable to be able to get them more points, and then at the end of the year with higher points they might be further up the championship and they might get more TV revenues and
right.
Whatever.
Yes, so it's a short-term cash injection versus long-term return,
yeah.
But higher risk. So there's more money to gain in the championship, but then again, you know, Pastor might come through and you might get the points they need, so you might get the money up front and the money at the end of the year.
You might do. I mean, I've never heard of him, so I don't know how good he is, but with rookies and at Williams, I'm always worried that they're going to spend all that money on new front wings and noses and stuff.
That is a problem. I guess if Pastor does come in, that seals Rubens' seat, because you couldn't run two rookies. Williams would not dare risk that. So with another rookie in, Rubens is absolutely fine. I don't think it's really under question, but he hasn't been confirmed yet.
No, I think they're quite happy with Rubens. He's got a lot of experience.
He's done
a
great job.
Doing a solid job.
As we noted earlier, they have a number of high-level departures. There have been a number of high-level departures from Williams of late, and so maybe they do need that vital cash injection. And it doesn't matter how good Hulk is. Maybe there's just no way he's going to keep that seat.
Talking of rookies, I noticed a big banner on autosport.com for their Rookie of the Year awards. And there's a couple of F1 people in there, Hülkenberg, Kimi Raikkonen for the rally, obviously.
I forget he's a rookie.
Yeah, Kobayashi and Petrov.
Okay, and have you voted?
I have.
Who have you voted for?
I voted for none of them.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't like any of those as rookies?
No. Nope.
Okay. Did anybody get your vote at all, or did you just shun the whole idea?
No,
You're against it. You're above it.
Yeah. I'm on strike for that.
Okay.
No, I voted for Simona De Silvestro.
From IndyCar?
IndyCar.
Wow, look at you. Look at you knowing stuff about other motorsports.
Yeah, it's
Christine
ridiculous.
Blashford. There you go. So Simona got your vote.
Yep, and I recommend that you go and vote and have a look and see who you want to pick. I couldn't find a direct link, but if you head to autosport.com, there's bound to be an ad for it somewhere.
Can't miss it.
The race. Don't you think it was quite impressive that the Korean Grand Prix happened at all?
We had our doubts. I will admit to being slightly sceptical as to whether or not this race was really going to happen.
They were still building it right at the last minute.
When the Formula One circus arrived in the country, there were no grid markings on the main straight.
No.
Which would be something of an oversight.
We saw lots of twit pics of them actually being painted, which was quite fun.
Yeah, the circuit was, it was nowhere near ready. The surrounding area was nothing like complete. And as we mentioned before, the dust and the building works were getting in people's throats and eyes, and it wasn't a nice thing to have. However, at least we had a race. Because if everybody had turned up and then the venue really wasn't safe, or the ground had fallen to pieces, the circuit had collapsed, or the tarmac had been ripped up, you know, that would have been awful.
I think it might have been Jake on the BBC said that it's a bit embarrassing that they were still scrabbling around right at the last minute, and it doesn't really reflect well on them, but it would have been a lot worse if they had had to cancel it.
There was a great comment actually from Sammy in the Side Podcast comments that said, well, the Canadian track can't hold itself together, but this one did. So, you know, it doesn't matter what you think about Korea. Their track didn't need to be re-cemented midway through the weekend, as many people have feared. Yet, you know, Canada's still on the calendar and we love it to pieces.
The only real problem with the actual track, aside from some of the dusty slipperiness, was that when they tried to plug that hole, there's a dent at turn 16 or 17, wasn't there? And they tried to plug it overnight with a bit of extra concrete or something, and that did sort of fall to pieces.
Yes.
But that's because it was an emergency repair that just didn't work.
They were slightly saved, I think, by the water. There is a drainage problem. I'm sure there's a drainage problem in the pit lane, which is concrete, and there's a drainage problem on track, because the track didn't clear at all. Once the rain had stopped, there was, you know, the only thing that was clear in the water was the cars. So that it does have, there are issues to be resolved. At some point during the weekend, somebody tweeted that the grandstands are already sinking. Which is a major problem.
Because it's on a swamp or something.
It's been built on a swamp and it's been built in a hurry. So it sounds like they're going to have to tear a lot of it down in the next year and rebuild it again, because it's not right. One other thing that did stick in my mind was, you know how Telka likes to build in some local architecture into this, into each
track? I get China. Track. It's a symbol, isn't it?
Yeah, he's built. And also, I think the main grandstand has the funny cone things on the roof of the grandstand, the circular dome things, not cone things, dome things on the top of the grand. You know, there's like Chinese architecture around it and that kind of thing. I didn't think that the bridge over the end of the main straight worked at all.
But that's because
like a sore
there's
thumb.
Nothing else. It probably will do when there's other buildings
and
things around.
I don't know. It just felt like someone said, well, it doesn't look, it just looks like it could be anywhere.
So, I think they focused all their energy on making that bridge look good and the rest of the track suffered for it.
Do you think? Okay, that could be it. Maybe I'm judging it too prematurely. We'll see next year if you're right. Did you see the Red Bull preview that they put out, the 3D animation? If that ever gets made, this whole Korean area will be fantastic. But I do have my doubts whether or not that vision will ever be realised.
As you alluded to, it wasn't the track in the end that caused all the chaos. It was the rain, the water, the weather.
Friday and Saturday were fine.
Yep.
Not a problem. Qualifying was a bit boring.
Yeah.
Not too much happened.
I'll be honest, I don't remember much
was it
of
too
the
early?
Weekend. It was all a bit early and it was all very similar. I did mention to you that there was nothing about the track that stood out
nothing
as memorable.
All. It's exactly like Valencia. It's just walls and walls.
Not even a green building.
No. Well, then maybe there will be one day. Maybe that's missing.
So I don't remember much about it, but I remember a lot about today's race because it went on forever.
Hello, it's Lugie here. I've got a voicemail, of course. The Korean Grand Prix. So it was all right, wasn't it? It wasn't too bad. It could have been worse. It could have been better. It was pretty good. There's lots of action. It just was so long. Oh, my God. It never ended. The never-ending story had nothing on the Korean Grand Prix. The race, you know, the rain, safety car just went on and on, didn't it? It dragged so much. But, you know, when the race got going, it wasn't too bad. I feel a bit bad for Jensen because it all fell apart from today, and it's not very nice. I remember Brazil last year when it all fell apart for Rubens when he was going to the championship on the day he got pole, and that was just not nice. So, it's, you know, it's a shame for Jensen, but I'm sure he'll come back next year ready and rearing to win the championship. Because he will, so you know, let's be honest, he will. Not biased, but you know, Alonso was good in the second half of the race. Vettel and Webber, well, you know, I really want Webber to win a championship, to be honest, but he didn't make a pretty bad mistake today. But fair play to Navan, he was nice and honest afterwards, and Alonso just tore away at the end, and he was under control. He was fine, he was calm, he was, you know, he didn't spin, he didn't do five massive spins. Yeah, even Massa didn't do five massive spins. That's an achievement. So, Sudil, on the other hand, well, that's He was adventurous. He was Kobayashi-esque against Kobayashi, ironically. And but yeah, there's lots going on. It was just went on for so long. That's really the problem. Like silly O'Clock, it was just mental. But yeah, it could have been worse. Could have been better. Could have been Bahrain. Yes. But yeah, it's good to have you guys back, by the way. And yep, that's another race then. Nearly there. Oh.
Yay for voicemails. Yeah. It's been too long.
I forgot we had a voicemail box, to be honest.
Yes.
Should we give the number out or something?
01212887225. Lukey just didn't forget.
I'm impressed that you remembered.
It's not on the wall. We used to have a big neon sign, so we couldn't forget it. And, well, I say neon sign, it was more like...
It was marker pen. On paper.
Yeah. It sounds grand, though. You ruined the whole vision.
Sorry.
Yeah, so he must have remembered it, but I have to say, Neverending Story really does sum up that race, doesn't it?
There were only 16 laps behind the safety car, though, so technically it was better than that Fuji race.
Why is it? It's always early in the morning, our time, when the races go on and drag on and on and on. It's a bit of a pain. So it wasn't 19, is that what you're saying? You're saying we had a good deal here?
Yeah. It was only 16.
Yeah, but the thing with Fuji...
There was a big gap in the middle.
There was a big gap in the middle, which we didn't get in Fuji.
Yeah.
We got here, we had the whole stoppage time. I think we suffered more than we did at the rain-soaked Japanese Grand Prix from 2000 and, I forget, 8.
7? Oh. Anyway. Alonso would know when it was.
Right, that's not going to get tiring.
No. The Fact Bike Fact Box kept us going, though, didn't it?
That's a big difference, I think. That is the major difference. There's comments. The comments were keeping us entertained, and you know, people were keeping us amused. And also, there's so much going on with the Fact Box. There is no time to get bored, even when there's nothing happening on track.
I did think that because the teams didn't have so much stress at the beginning of the race, they tweeted a lot more, which was fun.
Yes, it was a bit like the boat race from the race before. That's what we need. We need bored team members.
It's worth mentioning, talking of tweeting and stuff, that you know Alex Snell, who's doing the big Round the World tour?
I am familiar with his work. Did you find him? Did you discover Alex or did he discover you?
Well, we promoted his work back in March.
Back when he was just a nobody. Nobody had ever heard of Alex Snell, Mr. Formula One fan. Back before he got really big and famous.
I found him first. Now he's proper famous and he's forgotten about me.
Oh, really?
No, not really.
No.
But he was in the Virgin Garage, which happens quite a lot. He's sort of made good friends and contacts there. But what was weird was the official Virgin tweeter, this is not a good word at all, is it?
What representative would be good.
Stayed at home, I think. And so they had Alex in there tweeting on behalf of the team.
He was doing tweeting duties. Yeah. That's brilliant. What a great use of a fan.
Well, unless he's done that person out of a job, which is not so great.
No. Well, it is for Alex. A job in Formula One. Perfect for him.
Well, hello there, everybody. This is Kai, and this is my first side podcast voicemail. I was trying to think of how to sum up this day of racing, and I guess Korea is the land of surprises. Surprise number one, F1 went ahead with a race. Surprise number two, it rained on race day. A lot. So much for the precious amount of rubber that had been laid down the day before. And surprise number three, they actually went green after ages and ages behind the safety car. Then the worst surprise of all was number four. Mark Webber spun and was out. There was a nasty surprise in there for Nico Rosberg as well. But my heart broke for Webber. In fact, Will Buxton said during his interview with him when I was watching on Speed that after the accident, he could see that Mark had been crying. Oh, my God, that was so wrenching for me to hear. I couldn't believe it. Mark is, you know, a tough Aussie guy, and that was just a really bad day. And I was appreciative that Will Buxton said that because we don't often get to see that kind of insight into the vulnerability of a driver, especially like Mark. Well, I'm just pulling for him so much, and I hope that he can come right back and still win the championship. He seems to do well in adversity, so I'm hoping this is maybe a good setup for him. I know it's ridiculous, isn't it? That optimism. Okay. Well, at least Vettel was out, too. That was another good surprise for me, anyway. I know it's rude. Sorry. And then, of course, we had the surprise of Alonso winning, and Sutil doing his best impression of Takuma Sato. I thought that was fantastic and very surprising all along the circuit there for a while. Oh, my goodness. Well, it was a really interesting race and quite unique, as Mr. C said. I'll see you guys in the comments. Thanks. Bye.
I didn't know that. I didn't need to know that. Thank you, Kai. Now I feel sad too. Aw.
Bless him.
He threw it away. There was no one else to blame but himself. He didn't handle the situation very well.
Well, he handled it well afterwards.
Oh, absolutely. No, I mean, he's had a chipper.
Everyone thought he was going to say, oh, we should never have started, because, you know, that's kind of how Weber is. He errs on the side of caution.
Yes.
And he wouldn't have wanted to start. But actually, after the race, he said, or after his race came to an early end, he said that the conditions were okay and it was his own mistake and it was all his own fault. So he was quite, you know, open and honest about it, which is what we've come to expect from him.
Yes.
And I think he must be slightly happier that Vettel also crashed out, because he would have been third in the championship, but now he is still second.
It would have been a disaster. As it happened, not the worst.
A mini disaster.
Yes. I cannot believe that. I mean, was it the last show we were talking about it? You cannot win a championship with that many DNFs.
Yeah.
And I've never known so many front runners fail to finish so many races. It's quite unbelievable.
I thought it was to do with the point system. You said it's just because the front people are rubbish.
And you've got an engine blow up for Red Bull, two DNFs, which is just for two front-running championship leaders. But there you go. That's just the way this year is. It's just throwing up those kind of surprises.
But there's still five people in with a shot at the title. Still, every race that goes by, still
so
five
barely,
people.
So barely, though. So but, very barely.
Yeah, Button didn't pick up any points this week. What was wrong with him?
Well, that's a very good question. Before you move on to that, actually, talk about his teammate Lewis, because I thought whilst they were behind the safety car, whilst Weber was being oh so Mr. Cautious, Lewis was the only man saying, look, why aren't we out there racing now? Because we could see it was getting dry. The racing line was
from the comfort of our own home.
Yeah, but you could tell. I mean, very very soon after the race restarted, drivers were considering swapping to Inters. So therefore, you know, you knew it was fine to race. And Lewis was in the cockpit saying, "I want to be out there racing. Why are we not doing this? What are these people made of?" And I think he had a very good point.
He did say, "It's a wet race. What do they expect?
What do you expect?" Yes, well, they've got these extreme wet tyres. And if you can't race on those, then Bridgestone have done something very, very wrong. Because, I mean, it should be perfectly possible for cars to race each other safely in those conditions. And as they proved when the safety car came in, they were fine, generally, apart from Weber, was the first guy to spin off and lose it. But most of the time, everybody else handled themselves, correctly.
I think, as always, with the safety car thing, I understand doing a couple of laps behind the safety car if you need to go out and feel it and maybe clear up a bit of water and help make a line, but you can't just keep going for 20 laps behind the safety car. Either start it or stop it, because if they have to go, I mean, if the visibility is so poor that they can't do it, then they should stop.
Mm-hmm.
And if the visibility is okay and they just have to go a bit slower, then that's fine. They should be able to adapt to the conditions.
Yes,
I know it's F1 and they want to go as fast as possible and then they crash out, but if they have to go a bit slower, so be it.
That's the way it is.
But anyway, what was wrong with Button?
Oh, yeah. I don't really know. The only thing I could possibly guess with no evidence and nothing to back this up at all is that he was in with such a long shot on the championship that they risked new car parts on his car that didn't work out.
Did he change his tyres before everyone else or something?
He made the call early, but he'd already destroyed his extremes. I think he went to Inters. He wasn't the first car to go to Inters. I think Sauber were. But he was up there with some of the first guys to switch, and it didn't work out for him. But I think he did it because he didn't have a choice. The biggest issue is really why he had so many problems and Lewis was absolutely fine.
Yeah, after the race, he did say that he had no grip at all for the whole time, nothing.
He wasn't happy, just the way it was. And Luke is right, you know, it's a bit sad that he's effectively out of it. He had a good innings, I think, this year. You know, he did well against Lewis for the first half of the season and just fell apart, not entirely due to his own fault. As we mentioned before, it's just the way it's shaken out. He hasn't been able to defend his championship.
No, it is a bit of a shame because we haven't seen a back-to-back for a while. No. And it's always good when a driver goes and does it at another team, because it really proves more, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
But that looks very unlikely now. Talking of points and champions and back-to-back champions, you know that Schumacher fella?
I'm aware of him.
He is officially going to finish behind Rosberg.
Yay!
The difference between them is more than 50 points, which is all that is available, assuming that Schumacher could win.
Right. Yes. Assuming he could win both races and Nico score nothing. So that's done. He's been beaten by his teammate. Is that the first time in his career? I think, or certainly in his F1 career, isn't it? That's a major knock on the head for him. And do you think he's gonna?
No.
Think he'll come back next year?
I think he will.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh dear. Okay. I hope he doesn't.
I hope he doesn't too, but I think that he probably will. He's so far down the order now. I wonder what Alonso would think of that. There were about 3 million retirees this race. Seemed like half the field stopped before the end. But Sutil and Buemi are both getting 5-place grid drops for the next race for their incidents. And I think that is fabulous. Not that they're getting penalties, but that the penalties aren't affecting the results that we saw today.
You approve?
I do.
Because?
Because it's rubbish when I have to go and change all my charts.
So you're approving because it suits you and it gives you less work to do.
Yeah, and also it's just good, isn't it? It's good not to go away, have a nap or a cup of tea and come back and it's all different.
Yes, that's great, except it's not going to work if it happens at the last race of the year because they're going to run out of races. So something will have to happen then. However, until then, I'm agreeing with you. I like that. Good on Alan Jones.
Yeah, Alan Jones is my new favourite.
Is he indeed?
Yeah.
I did want to quickly mention Al-Jaswari, who unfortunately lost. He was on for a point until, was it the very last lap when he lost out? He went off the track. And then he tweeted after the race. He was very sad. He said it wasn't fair. I think his tyres were completely shot. And he was unhappy racing in the dark. And he was unhappy that he lost on that point because he tried so hard for it. And it was very, very sweet. And I know that you're a fan of him now, this year. Even though before, absolutely no interest in him whatsoever.
I couldn't care less and I was annoyed that he's got a silly name.
Yes. Now this year, you love him. Well, I think it's very sweet, the poor man. He did try his best. It just didn't quite work out for him.
You know, Al-Jaswari is very nice because this week he also took the time out to speak to Lee, who is a frequent commenter on Sidepodcast, at the Formula One and Motorsports Archive.wordpress.com. There's a quick Q&A.
Exclusive.
With Q&A. The man himself.
Yeah, link in the show notes. We haven't had that today. There you go. If you're listening to the show, make sure, check out Sidepodcast.com, look for this show, links in the show notes, make sure you check them all out. They're always brilliant, even if there's only one this week.
The only other thing I really have to say about the race...
Is it went on forever?
No.
Oh, no, we've said that already.
No, we've said that. I'm not sure, but I think the checkered flag guy missed his big moment.
Oh, because he missed the car.
He missed Alonso.
Yes. Was it because it was too dark? He couldn't see him. That's what it was.
It could be.
The car rounded the corner, couldn't see him for nothing.
I wonder if Alonso was like, am I finished? Do I have to do another lap? Is this the end? I haven't seen the flag.
He was well past that checkered flag man before the flag was raised. I should say thank you to my mum for spotting that because we didn't pick it up at the time.
Yeah.
And she did get in touch and say, by the way, that flag was not waved. According to the checkered flag man, the first man past the line would have been Lewis. So maybe he was the rightful winner. I don't know. But it did get very dark, didn't it? Dangerously dark. F1's second night race.
Yeah. Well, they keep on pushing the time back.
For us.
Which is stupid because it was still crazy o'clock in the morning, so you might as well just make it whatever time.
Literally, Bernie, if you did that for European audiences, you are crazy because 3 o'clock in the morning would have been much more convenient. 6 o'clock is just not nice to get up for. And again, the race went on and on and on. It got dangerously dark, not for the first time. But you know, he wants the audiences and money talks and Bernie walks. Feedback. Is it this time already?
It is.
The show goes so quickly.
That's because we talk too fast.
Oh, shall we slow it down a little?
Yeah. I don't have any specific feedback this week, but a lot of people were very happy that the podcast returned.
Much appreciated all the thanks that we got for the show a fortnight ago.
Yeah.
Very surprising. I thought people would have forgotten about us, unsubscribed, not cared in the slightest, but it seems like people missed us.
Yeah.
So hello to everybody.
There were lots of comments, lots of tweets. I did just want to do a quick shout out to Keith, Rob and Peter, who emailed me, christine@sidepodcast.com, and Ken and Mark, who got in touch via the contact form, just all to say thanks and hello.
And also the comments, lovely feedback, lovely tweets, and also on Facebook, lots and lots of thanks and appreciation on there. So there's a lot of love in the Sidepodcast room this week.
Housekeeping. I have a few bits of housekeeping, but the problem is that most of them require the wiki. And the wiki is broken.
You're sulking. You're upset. But you almost cried this afternoon at the wiki, didn't you?
Yeah.
Sad Christine's unhappy.
Not happy with Wikia at all.
Tell us why.
I spent a long time moving all the pages from our old wet paint site.
Which was rubbish.
Which was awful. Crashed everyone. Put viruses all over the place. It was not good at all.
Nope.
So I moved across to Wikia, which was more reputable.
Yep.
And then we went there today and it's all changed. They've just decided to change the layout. Everything is ruined and broken. It all looks awful. I'm not happy.
They've rolled out a redesign without telling anybody. Terrible way to manage a wiki site. And so now you're going to have to find somebody else or find another solution. So aside from the fact that wiki is rubbish, people have been doing lots and lots of work on it in the meantime.
Yeah, there is still good stuff. On the wiki, we're taking volunteers for some posts, and they are an On Track With series.
Okay.
And it's basically, if you've ever been out on a track day or in a race or anything that involves steering and going a little bit faster than walking, we want to hear about it, basically.
Not just generally driving to the shops, though.
Well, I guess not.
On a proper racetrack, but in either your
Could
car karting. Or a racing car. Yeah, something like that. And we're interested to hear about why you did it and what it was like, in order to encourage more people to do it. Now, you've never done this, and I've never
I've been karting.
Does that count? You're going to write about
your first... I didn't like it.
Would you write about your first karting event?
Maybe I will.
That would be interesting. I would like to hear about that, given how fast you were going. I'd love to hear what you thought. Do you still have your times? I bet you kept that. I bet you kept the sheet with your times on it. People need to know about this. But we are looking for more stories. It's the first time that you've been out on a track day. What did you make of it? And why did you go? And how much did it cost? What did you learn? And have you been back since? Because so far we've had three or four stories from a number of different people, all with different stories to tell. From different countries.
Yeah, well, we should say that the voicemail you heard earlier from Kai, she actually started the series off. It was her idea, I think.
Thank you to Kai for that. And I love reading about them. I love reading the stories. So if you, I mean, there must be plenty of people out there who are petrol heads and like going on track days. And maybe we should really make an effort at some point to go and do a track day. But if we get, how many posts would it take for you to go and do a track day? How many guest posts would it take to encourage you? 10? 15? What would it take to get Christine in a car pushing the limits on a track? That could be awesome. Don't answer that question now. I'll let you think about this. You've got a funny shade of white. Don't answer that yet. We've come back to this in a later show. I would like to get lots and lots of guest posts on this because I think it's a great idea. Thank you to Stephen, who's actually sort of keeping people organised.
He volunteers people.
He's volunteering people and encouraging people. And I think he's got a guest post of his own coming for this series. I would like to get more and more people to do it. And if we have to encourage them by blackmailing you, volunteering you into doing something. I don't know when you do it. Maybe sometime when the weather's nicer next year, possibly. You don't want to be doing it in the ice and the snow, possibly. However, we need to get as many guest posts as we can. And Christine's looking at me very shiftily now, as I've nominated.
This is not in my show notes. I'm not happy.
No. We won't commit you to a number, but we'll try and get as many guest posts on this as we possibly can in the next couple of weeks, and then we'll see if we can we can lock you down and commit you to something. And then you can write about it and tell us how you find it.
Changing the subject rapidly. there's also a little bit of fun on...
Knobs.
Yeah, there's also a bit of fun on the wiki. I think it started in the comments because this show made a sort of return. People started talking about some of the other shows and I think people were missing the side pod panels.
Mm,
you know, these shows where we had several callers on Teams, asked them lots of silly questions and got them doing lots of silly impressions.
Genius.
Crazy things. People were missing them. And somehow the conversation evolved into people involved in F1 as biscuits. As you do.
Yes. That sounds very side podcast-esque.
So I've got a couple of examples. Rich T. Moglock.
I like it.
Yep. Hobnob but Haug.
Love that one.
Jaffa Cake Humphrey.
Brilliant. My favourite. Jaffa Cake Humphrey. Yeah. That is a great name. Yeah. That has to stick.
I mean,
from now on, he must be known and referred to as Jaffa Cake Humphrey from here on in.
And the other one I liked was Emerson Garibaldi.
There's more, though. That's just a tiny selection, and we need more. I mean, we're not done yet. We haven't got everybody covered.
Well, I just
think there must be more biscuits out there.
Everyone must be able to come up with one.
Yes. So, again, link in the show notes. Is this going to be a second link?
Yeah, to the wiki as it is at the moment until I find another one.
So you've got to get in there quick. So obviously when you move, you're not going to delete anything. But
no.
But before it moves, do get onto the wiki and contribute your F1 drivers, not drivers, it's just anybody in F1.
F1 people.
F1 people named as biscuits.
And the final bit of wiki stuff is from Eric, who is doing some kind of... It's a bit weird to talk about it, really, because it's sort of like a tribute to us.
It's a long-term thing as well, because the discussion is centered around SidePod Radio. And obviously we did SidePod Radio well over a year ago, and it might be coming back for SidePod Radio too, but we're not sure yet, and we haven't committed to it. However, Eric already has a plan, and he's making a song dedicated to SidePodcast that he'd like people to sing.
So there's some kind of Discovery Channel advert.
Do you want to hear it? I can play you the he's basing this on a Discovery channel commercial.
Well, apparently
you may have seen.
It's quite it's turned into quite a viral thing because there was comics on it and lots of people have done takes on it, and he wants to do a side pod take on it.
Want
to
hear it?
Yeah.
I love the mountains. I love the clear blue skies. I love big bridges. I love when great whites fly.
I love the whole world
and all its sights and sounds.
Boom de ya, boom de ya, boom de ya,
boom de ya. I love the oceans.
I love real dirty things.
I love to go fast.
I love Egyptian kings.
I love the whole world
and all its craziness.
Boom de ya.
Okay, so now that's stuck in your head.
Yeah, thanks for that.
But we're going to change that. Eric's got a plan to change that into side podcast related phrases, and he's looking for volunteers. And
yeah,
he started this on the wiki. It's going well already.
Some people have put in a couple of things like, I love the debriefs and I love tweets of the week.
Okay, so that kind of thing. So change the lyrics to make them vaguely Formula One related or side podcast related. Eric has banned either of us from taking part. We're not allowed to do this. It's got to be community. It's got to come from you guys listening in, phoning in and singing. Writing the lines and singing the lines. I don't know when it's going to...
Sounds like quite an epic project.
It is. It's a long-term project, I'm sure, but I love the idea of it. And thank you to Eric for being inspired enough. He talked about it in the comments a while ago, and he's doing this project all by himself, and he's running with it, and I love him for it. And I love the effort and all the community work that's going into the wiki at the moment, despite the fact the wiki is a bit...
They've ruined it.
They've ruined the wiki, but the people will not be beaten. They will not be perturbed. They're just going for it anyway. So we love that.
You can't keep good side pod peeps down. The last thing I'd like to shamelessly plug is the side pod calendar.
It's your show. You can plug whatever you like. That's not shameless.
Well, thank you. It's at sidepodcast.com/calendar. Now, basically, it's a Google calendar and it's got all the motorsport related dates you could possibly think of. Driver birthdays, commenter birthdays too, the F1 Grand Prix dates, other things like Le Mans, when that was, Autosport International.
Special events.
Yeah. And it had rally in there as well. That was a good request.
Okay.
Now, for 2011, I've sort of ramped it up a bit and taken even more requests for lots of different series. So there's all kinds of things like IndyCar, more rallying, MotoGP.
So is this a commitment from you to follow all these sports next year? Is that
no.
what you're saying?
No, no,
That's
no.
That's what it sounds like.
It's just a calendar.
Right. Of things you're interested in?
Just things.
A calendar of things?
Yeah.
Okay.
Amy even asked for the tennis dates to go in there.
Are they going in there?
Maybe.
Okay. Well, this is interesting.
The good thing about the calendar is they're all separate calendars that go into one. So you can pick and choose what you want. So if you only want to see the F1 dates, that's fine. You can just pick that one.
You also get to subscribe to each of the calendars in your own personal desktop calendar or on your phone. So if you use Google Calendar, you can sync it to your Android or your iPhone. Take it with you wherever you go. Very handy.
Looking at my calendar, I can see that the next race is on at a reasonable time.
Yes.
Thank goodness.
Finally. There's only two more to go. I noticed that you just got inspired to do the calendar for 2011 when you realised there's only two more races left.
I did like it when Jake said, look, this is where we are on the calendar. It's career and there's only two races left. And I thought, blimey, that was quick.
It's already over. It's already done. Well, it isn't quite. There's two more to go.
And they're going to be two quite important races.
Yep.
It's so not open, anything could happen.
Not to be missed. They're on UK time. They're on, I believe it's 6 o'clock in the afternoon, which is good for us. And then something like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So neither of those will see us getting up far too early to watch endless processions of safety cars, regardless of the weather. And we're looking forward to it. You looking forward to it? I'm looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to Factbite Factboxing it.
That's true. Loving the Factbite Factbox. Every single race is more new stuff. I tell you what the biggest challenge is going to be. We're trying to bring new things for the Factbite Factbox to every single race. And the next two races are back-to-backs.
Yes.
Therefore, we've got new stuff definitely coming for Brazil. Exciting stuff, really. More graphs, more charts, more cool things. Not totally convinced we're going to get anything done in the gap between Brazil and Abu Dhabi. That's literally like one day of development time by the time you finish off the one race and get going for the next. It's really, really tight. So I don't know if we'll do that. But regardless, there will be new stuff for the Fact by Fact Box for Brazil.
Looks like there'll also be a podcast because we've done two now.
God help us all.
It's becoming a habit.
What does Alonso think of that?